Celebrating 10 years of award-winning car talk, it's the In Wheel Time Car Show, your weekly go-to all things automotive place. Today, coming to you live from the Hovis' Hemi Hideout in Brookshire, Texas. Coming up, we'll have This Week in Auto History, get you updated on the stories making auto news headlines, and have a few guests along the way. Howdy, along with Mike out of this world Mars down there. We need more Jeff Zekin there.
Right here.
And then we have King Conrad along there. I'm Don Armstrong. Glad you could join us on this Saturday. And it's good to be back at the Hemi Hideout. We haven't been out here in a year and a half.
Since prior to COVID.
Pre-COVID.
Yeah. I can't hear him very well. Can you hear him?
That's okay.
Just turn him off.
We don't need to hear him.
Wouldn't be the first time.
That's right.
But yeah, no,
you hear this all the time from your wife, right?
Yeah, we hadn't been out here since pre-COVID. I'm going to say it was maybe September of 19.
No, because I remember the Christmas tree out there in the middle.
Okay, so probably November, December of 19.
Yeah, that'd be my guess. Our guest here in the remote studio at the Hemi Hideout, Freddie Riggs. Houston Miata Club. How are you doing, sir?
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for joining us today. The Miata, isn't that the MX3?
MX5.
Careful now, Don.
MX5.
MX5.
MX5, sorry.
That's all right.
Well, you know.
And they have an extremely passionate owner base.
Yes, I know.
And when did it first come out? When did the Miata MX5 combo?
The year model was 1990. They were out originally in, I think, August of 89. I almost bought one at that time. The dealer markup turned me away, and I bought a 5-liter Mustang instead.
Oh, there you go.
Well, I mean, we're talking about two different cars, a Mustang and a Miata. Completely different.
Very much so. I made a mistake.
Well, I don't know. The Mustang Club people probably would think that you didn't make a mistake. And I wouldn't think that either.
It wasn't a mistake. I enjoyed the engine. I didn't care for the – I thought the 89 Mustang chassis was not as much fun to drive as a Miata chassis.
Sure.
Put it that way.
Well, and so be the popularity of the Miata, and it does what it does.
Well, there's different
ways. And now that whole – I can't imagine that knowing – car manufacturers like I do, that they would say, oh, this car, people are going to love this car, and it is going to turn into its own cult, because it really has. And when they started making that car, I don't think that there was a cult thing waiting for that car. It just kind of happened over the years. Now it's got its own culture. I mean, it doesn't need to have Mazda at the front of it anymore. It's got its own thing going on, Miata.
It does, and I think a big product of what the reasoning that it happened was that there were so many people that were born in the 30s, 40s, 50s that fell in love with English sports cars.
Correct.
And they fell in hate with being in the garage with them every weekend trying to keep them going.
Yep.
Because they all had Lucas wiring.
That's part of it, yes, the majority of it probably. But and my father made Lucas jokes forever. My dad had a Mini, mid-60s, one 998cc Mini that I got to drive on, sit in his lap and steer through the neighborhood, which has got me turned on to sports cars. But, no, the Miata came out, and it was immediately likable. It was cute, if you say. It was attractive. It was sporty. It was
extremely dependable.
Extremely dependable. Yeah. Extremely inexpensive, really, when you look at what it did for the money. It still is to this day.
Yep.
A lot of people will take a Miata over a much more expensive sports car simply because they run forever. They're easy to work on. Now, not so much these days with all the modern technology.
Electronics.
Yeah, electronics. But, I mean, I have several NAs, 1990 to 1997 cars. A few of them I'm getting rid of, but just collected. But my newest Miata is a 2000 model, and it's got,
so you haven't jumped on the MX5 bandwagon. You're still a Miata guy.
I mean, depending on your viewpoint. I mean, I love the new car, the ND. I've driven them. I like them. I'll own one eventually.
But I'm really slowly getting the basics of the original chassis with 1995. I enjoy the upgrades they made throughout that chassis. They look like hands. You can go out and put the suspension you want on it. You can put a turbocharger or a supercharger. We've got a guy in the club right now. It's on Fort Benning in the hills. Oh, yeah. And that's a lot of work. And that's his second one. The first one died in the flood. The one he's got now in NC, which is the 06 to 15,000. Yeah, LS3, Fort Benning. Two million headers and a nice round for about 300 yards of the tank. And
I'm tuning in the line.
Yeah, take a high five. to them.
You need another personality, another car club member.
Yes.
So what's your first name?
Mike. Okay, hi. I'll tell our car club guy to come and say, introduce himself to you.
Yeah.
And that was a pure joke.
Yeah, no, I know. I've done it myself.
How was your
they didn't take me off
the air. Certified, 5 years, and then I see this for me.
We have Richard on the show. Don't bring him off.
The hardcores and the ones that would appreciate coming out here.
will give you a chance to be better. If you talk to your daughter, you can get her from that book. I'm going to say, she loves the boost. She loves her internal command. To her, it's a hoop. It's the breaking and banging and the suspension of that. She's got a bad back, etc. It's just not a great fit for her, but she's always encouraging, oh, you've got to beat her. You've got to beat her. You've got to beat her. Which is great, because I don't feel guilty.
Well, we really appreciate you joining us today, and HoustonYachtClub.com or HoustonYachtClub on Facebook.
That's correct.
Thanks a lot for joining us.
You should. I appreciate your membership.
Yeah,
he thinks you're calling your car. He's got 12 of them in here. We have 6. Brent, good to see you.
Thanks so much, Matt.
We truly appreciate it. All right.
One with the In Wheel Time Car Show. We thank you for joining us today. Time now for This Week in Auto History, and Conrad has that.
Yep, and Jeffrey will bring up some pictures.
I got it, brother. I got
it. So in 1900, Andrew Ryker set a new speed record driving an electric car. His time of 10 minutes and 20 seconds established a new low for the five-mile track in Newport, Rhode Island.
Now, is this the guy that has the island, too?
Yeah.
Rikers Island?
Rikers Island.
Okay.
And again, that record stood for some time. Think about that, though. That's 30 miles an hour in an electric car. And I know the only reason he could go around twice was that's all the battery power he had.
Well, yeah. That's
in 1930, cross-country trips are no longer considered big news. But Charles Creighton and Jim Hargis took a unique journey and managed to make headlines. The two men from Maplewood, New Jersey, arrived back in New York City after completing a 42-day-long trip to Los Angeles, driving their 1929 Ford Model A the entire 7,180 miles in reverse.
With a rumble seat.
With a rumble seat.
That would be something that I would do.
In 1945, with the end of World War II, Germany's factory in Wolfsburg was completely destroyed and brought to rubble. It was the British occupation
Barney Rubble.
Burning rubble.
Yep.
The British occupation forces took control of the Wolfsburg factory and the town of Wolfsburg, and in the next 4 years they brought it back to life, and the wheels of industry eventually began to turn at the old Volkswagen factory, and Volkswagen had become the largest producer of vehicles in Europe by 1949. Oddly enough, in 2019, the city of Wolfsburg was doing some construction and found a World War II unexploded device in the ground as they were digging it out.
That would be a bomb.
Yeah, it was a bomb.
That would be a bomb.
In 1970, the Ford Pinto was introduced at a cost of less than $2,000. The design, complete with an influx of compact, to compete with a bunch of compacts coming in from the imports. The Pinto's low cost grabbed the headlines, and they had barn-burning sales, so to speak.
Oh, I actually rear-ended one of those. Nothing happened, though.
In 1982, Henry Ford retired once and for all, swearing off all involvement in the Ford Motor Company. In 1993, Chrysler Corporation introduced the Dodge Neon at the Frankfurt Auto Show, also known as the Skittle.
Yep.
In 1995, Chrysler Corporation received permission from the Vietnamese government to introduce and produce in Da Nang province of South Vietnam, and they were aiming to build 500 or 1,000 Dodge Dakota pickup trucks. But another big thing in history today is the remembrance of 9/11.
Yep.
And also 65 years ago, this week, Elvis Presley appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show for the first time after earning a big ratings on Steve Allen and the Dorsey Brothers stage show and the Milton Berle show. Sullivan finally allowed Elvis on the show with the rules that they were not allowed to show him from the waist down. And it also gained 82% viewership. And it was the number one Lawrence Welk show of the 50s.
No doubt.
Aren't you going to say thank you? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Time now for a quick break. We'll be right back here on the In Wheel Time Car Show.
Whether you own a newer car or want to keep your older one humming along for a while longer, think of Bayway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Bayway Chevy, and Bayway Lincoln to keep things in tip-top shape. From oil changes to major repairs, you can depend on the highly skilled service pros at Bayway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Bayway Chevrolet, and Bayway Lincoln to perform fast, efficient service to keep your investment running strong. For all your service needs, remember Bayway. Schedule your next appointment online anytime. Bayway, keeping it original. Tailpipes and Tacos, Houston's premier monthly cruise-in, returns Saturday, September 18th at the Southwest Freeway Kirby location of Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex. Tailpipes and Tacos is free and you're invited. Collector cars, hot rods, customs, magnificent originals, and resto mods will all be on display. If you're a Katy cruiser, make it a road trip, meet new friends, and see some different cruisers at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex restaurant inside the Loop on the Southwest Freeway near Kirby. This is Houston's hottest cruise-in, Tailpipes and Tacos, inside the Loop at the Loopy Tortilla on the Southwest Freeway in Kirby, where you'll see the In Wheel Time Car Show. Get your ride ready and we'll see you at the Tailpipes and Tacos Saturday morning cruise-in, September 18th, 8 to 11 a.m., weather permitting. The next Katy Tailpipes and Tacos will be announced soon. We hope to see you next weekend at the Tailpipes and Tacos cruise-in at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex on the Southwest Freeway at Kirby. Be there. Gulf Coast Auto Shield has moved to a more convenient location. Now you can visit John Gray and his staff of dedicated professionals at their new shop on the South Sam Houston Parkway between Belford and Airport in Southwest Houston. Gulf Coast Auto Shield is the best at paint correction and ceramic coatings. Clear bras and custom wraps are specialties that only Gulf Coast Auto Shield installs with award-winning accuracy, and all their services come with a warranty. Lamborghini, Aston Martin, Porsche, and Ferrari owners depend on Gulf Coast Auto Shield for their specialty services, and you should too. The in-wheel time Corvette and Cutlass have both been massaged by Gulf Coast Auto Shield, so isn't it time your vehicle visit their new shop in Southwest Houston? Call John Gray today at 832-930-5655 or visit online at gcautoshield.com. That's gcautoshield.com. Paint, coatings, wraps, and more at gcautoshield.com.